They are the mandates that keep mounting, seemingly by the moment. More COVID-19 vaccine requirements at workplaces and gathering spots right across Ontario. The new policies pressing for proof of protection. Good evening. The list continues to grow tonight of employers rolling out their own rules.
And depending on the circumstances, it could come down to this, either getting your jab or losing your job. CTV's John Musselman is live with more. John, you're outside of SickKids. They've announced their policy.
Well, that's right. The CEO says they have some unique vulnerabilities at this hospital. Most of the children are under the age of 12. That's why they're bringing this in. But we also spoke to a labor lawyer today who said there will be options for people who do have some medical concerns or exemptions. As the number of COVID cases continues to rise, so too does the number of businesses and governments calling for mandatory vaccines for all employees. The Hospital for Sick Children will make it mandatory for all employees, staff, volunteers, and contractors who do not have documented or human rights exemptions.
In order to fully protect the safety of our patients and families and our staff, we had to take it one step further and mandate vaccinations for all staff members on the premises of SickKids.
The hospital says anyone who isn't vaccinated will be required to participate in an education course about vaccination. The SickKids policy is similar to other children's hospitals in Ontario. Workers and visitors at SickKids today say they support it.
I would think so, especially in the hospital, because they're dealing with patients.
I think it's important to all the people in the hospital take the vaccine.
Today, Toronto's Chief Medical Officer of Health issued a directive that all employers in the city implement their own vaccine policies. So far, two of the big five banks have done just that. RBC sent a letter to staff on Thursday saying all workers will have to be vaccinated to work on the property. Employees will be required to have two doses by October 31st. TD has issued a similar policy. Mandatory vaccination policies have already been announced for the Ontario Public Service and City of Toronto workers, as well as the TTC.
In the city, and to make sure the city can kind of reopen and get back to a life that I think is something we all want to do.
If you've got everybody under your roof that's vaccinated, the likelihood of having a bigger outbreak, the likelihood of bringing the infection in and having a bigger outbreak is much, much smaller.
Today, Metrolinx says it will bring in a mandatory COVID-19 vaccine policy for all of its employees. An internal survey found that 81% of Metrolinx workers are fully vaccinated. It believes a mandatory policy will help boost those numbers. This labor lawyer says employees will need to adopt to the company policy, but they will have options if there is an objection based on medical reasons.
If there is a valid medical condition, there is still human rights legislation in place that offers protection to that employee.
Meanwhile, the Toronto Zoo has come out with a mandatory policy as well. All staff at the zoo and volunteers will be required to disclose and provide proof of their vaccination status by September the 13th. And almost all of the governments and businesses that have come online with this are pointing to the dangers of the Delta variant and trying to contain it. Reporting live outside SickKids, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back inside to you.
Thanks, John. Meanwhile, the city of Vaughan is set to follow Toronto's move, mandating vaccines for municipal workers.
This is a serious enemy that we're dealing with. And quite frankly, we can't afford defectors in this war against COVID-19.
And for his part, York Region's Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Kareem Kurji, says it would be wise to insist city employees returning to the workplace be vaccinated.
Across the province, the Ministry of Health says nearly 82% of eligible people have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, and more than 74.4% of eligible people have now received two doses. That represents nearly 9.7 million people in Ontario. Those doses have been available for months. Still, there are some who just are now choosing to get their first shot.
And their reasons for waiting are varied. CTV's Austin Delaney is live tonight outside Downsview Arena with more. Austin.
Well, those long lineups we saw of people desperate for a vaccine are long gone. But there was still a steady stream of people coming in to get their first and second shots. Why wait so long? Well, one frontline nurse at a hospital told me she was afraid of needles.
As the final push to get everyone vaccinated, we meet people from all walks of life at this clinic, including frontline healthcare workers who were given the first opportunities to get immunity, but waited for any number of reasons.
I'm afraid of the needle.
Jane Pang, a frontline nurse, got her first shot today and had been putting it off, afraid she would miss work.
Yeah, because I'm so afraid of a side effect. Like, if I have a side effect, I couldn't go work because they have, like, I have to report the symptoms.
Christina says she was afraid of the vaccine.
What made you most scared?
The side effects, I suppose. The vaccine itself. Everything.
What changed your mind then?
What changed my mind? Because I need to do it for work.
Work in a doctor's office. Rolf says he was just plain scared.
I heard that some people died, actually. Like, not many, but, you know.
Kelly has MS and recently suffered a bad attack, which kept her from getting her second shot until now. Today, much relief to finally be healthy enough to get it.
For me to just run and get the vaccine during an attack, it could potentially end me up in the hospital because I could get very sick with the MS.
Marianne's a caregiver to her immune-compromised husband, who's had three doses. This today, finally, her second.
I don't really go out much, so I felt wasn't necessary to rush it.
You happy done it, though?
Yep.
A Leger poll of unvaccinated people asking the reason for not getting the COVID-19 vaccine altogether. 71% said they do not believe the vaccines are safe. 20% said they believe vaccines are a ruse by the government to exert control over people, while 10% simply do not believe in vaccines. On vaccine passports, the Leger poll found 51% of Canadians support some kind of passport. 61% of Quebecers, where a passport will be implemented next month, say they support the idea. And the Downsview Arena Clinic has just closed its doors for the night. It opens again tomorrow, serving both the Pfizer and the Moderna. Today, if it was any indication, you could just walk right in. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
Thanks, Austin. And you can follow every step of Ontario's vaccination effort on our website, including the newest details on workplaces and venues requiring proof of protection. That's all at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Meanwhile, for the first time since early June, Ontario is seeing more than 600 new cases of COVID-19, the majority in people who are unvaccinated. Public Health Ontario reporting 650 new cases in its most recent update. That is the highest daily figure since June 6th. 547 of those cases are among people who are either unvaccinated or their vaccination status is unknown. 103 of the cases are in fully vaccinated people. Roughly 29,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, putting the province's positivity rate at 2.4%.
444 more cases are now considered resolved, raising that total to more than 544,000 over the course of the pandemic. Two more deaths are linked to the virus, meaning 9,450 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Tonight's regional breakdown includes 136 new cases in Toronto, with 113 in Peel Region, 63 in York. Hamilton has 55 new cases, with 25 in Durham Region, 22 in Niagara, and 19 in Halton.
Just ahead, escaping the Taliban in his own words, the teenager seeking safe passage to Canada. You will hear directly from that 13-year-old as his family appeals for help. Well, the heat warning persists on this Friday night. Lindsay Morrison is here. Lindsay, we are embarking on a hot weekend.
It's going to be, Michelle. It's already a hot evening, and it will be a warm overnight as well. Let's take a look at some of our current conditions. 28 degrees right now in places like Brampton as well as Hamilton. It's 29 in Niagara Falls, still 30 degrees in Peterborough, but feeling more like 38. And it currently feels like 37 in Muskoka, so you're not getting too much in the way of relief the further north you travel. There's the heat warning that's in effect for the city of Toronto that might expand over the next couple of days. It's not only because of daytime highs, but also overnight lows, which are going to be very warm over the next couple of days. Not much to show you on the satellite and radar. We've got a little bit of haze. Some areas have a risk of a thunderstorm tomorrow. We'll show you where coming up with a full look at your weekend forecast. For now, Zoraida, I'll send it over to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Next, to a horrifying and deadly sequence of events on the DVP late this afternoon, a motorcyclist was trying to exit onto the 401 when he lost control. He was thrown from the bike, landing below on the eastbound lanes of the 401. He was pronounced dead at the scene. The incident is also creating heavy traffic delays in the area this evening. Overseas, with the situation deteriorating in Afghanistan, Canada is joining other countries in trying to help citizens and Afghan allies and their families.
Advocates say that isn't happening quickly enough and people's lives are at stake. The Prime Minister says Ottawa is working as fast as possible.
Canadian officials, Canadian Armed Forces, and Canadians in homes and communities across the country are doing their part, are ready to welcome in as many Afghans as possible fleeing this terrible situation and this violence. I know we have to keep working day and night to get as many people out as possible, and that's exactly what all of our Canadian teams continue to do.
Canadian Armed Forces are now on the ground in Kabul to help with the evacuation. U.S. President Joe Biden spoke this afternoon about his country's efforts to rescue Americans and allies in Afghanistan.
Make no mistake, this evacuation mission is dangerous. It involves risks to our armed forces, and it's being conducted under difficult circumstances. I cannot promise what the final outcome will be, or what it will be that it will be without risk of loss. But as Commander-in-Chief, I can assure you that I will mobilize every resource necessary. And as an American, I offer my gratitude to the brave men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces who are carrying out this mission.
Biden says a meeting of the G7 nations will take place next week to coordinate a united approach to the situation in Afghanistan. This comes as a document from the UN suggests Taliban fighters are going door to door to find people who worked for the fallen government or assisted NATO forces. Meanwhile, it is one family's harrowing account of their desperation to escape Afghanistan in search of safety.
Among them, a 13-year-old boy fleeing the Taliban and appealing directly to Canada for help. CTV's Sean Lethong is live with more. Sean.
Well, Zarada and Michelle, we first told you about this 13-year-old boy yesterday. He'd written a letter addressed to Canadians in the hope that he might be saved for the sake of his education. Well, while we were airing that story, his family was undergoing a harrowing escape, getting away from the Taliban. Now they're hoping Canada will do its part.
On Thursday, as we read a letter from a 13-year-old boy desperate to come to Canada, the boy and his family were fleeing their home, fleeing the Taliban, and now he's speaking to CTV News.
I ask you that, please, I beg you that, get us out from Afghanistan.
On Thursday, they crossed the border into a neighboring country, but remain in danger. The boy, who we are not identifying, or which country he is now in, for his own safety, spoke of the experience leaving Afghanistan, his family having hired a driver to get all seven of them out and seeing the Taliban out of the car window.
They had guns, but they were hitting people with something like, you know, wood or something.
The boy says he was paralyzed with fear that the Taliban would find him.
I was dying myself in my heart. I couldn't do anything. You know, I was so worried, mournful in my heart.
As mentioned, the family have become targets because of a very public position in favor of women's education.
If they don't get out, they will be killed.
That includes the boy's aunt, a university researcher living in the West. She says she remains worried.
I'm very worried about his future. Like, even if he stayed, even if he doesn't die physically, he will die mentally. Like, he will never be able to do the things that he wants to do, and he will suffocate.
An immigration lawyer representing the family says that the goal is to be among the 20,000 refugees that Canada is accepting in the coming days and weeks, but overseas refugee applications are often plagued by unbelievable delays and red tape, and with the situation so volatile, these refugees are very vulnerable to being returned to Afghanistan. Canada needs to ensure that in addition to the evacuation attempts, they are getting this program for resettlement up and running and ready to be nimble. The boy is pleading for a chance.
If I go to another country, Canada, I will raise the voice of women. I will raise the voice of youth. I will be helping the world, the people of Afghanistan.
And they say this family, well-educated champions of women's rights, would contribute to Canada.
These are the people that the world needs. Right now, they need the world to help, but then later on, the world needs them to help make a better world.
They just hope they're soon on a plane out before they're sent back.
Now, the lawyer representing the family says it may be easier to get this family out now that they've left Afghanistan, but the most important factor here is time. Reporting live, I'm Sean Leithong Zoraida. I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, Sean. Canadians won't be able to drive south of the border until late September at the earliest. The COVID-19 entry restrictions were set to expire tomorrow, but the U.S. is extending the rules for another 30 days as it deals with a wave of cases linked to the Delta variant. Fully vaccinated Americans have been able to enter Canada since August 9th. Canadians have been able to fly into the U.S. throughout the pandemic, but the land border has been closed since March of 2020.
Toronto Pearson International Airport is trying to cut down on lengthy wait times for passengers arriving in Canada. Travel numbers have been picking up since quarantine requirements were eased for fully vaccinated Canadians, and airport officials are expecting that trend to continue. The increase has led to longer waits for processing by border officers as COVID-19 screening slowed down the entry process. Arriving travelers spoke about their experience today.
Every now and then, the volunteers, wherever we come across, they also remind us of the rules that we will have to follow. And the guidelines are very specific, so people are abiding to it. Yeah.
It's pretty busy. It's much busier than I'd seen it before pre-COVID, and it was very slow last year and now things are picking up.
The Greater Toronto Airports Authority says it's taking a few steps to improve the experience, like creating new holding areas inside the terminal for passengers waiting to be processed. They're also working with airlines and agencies to find efficiencies in that process. But incoming travelers are still being warned to expect wait times of 1 to 3 hours.
Turning to the federal campaign now, and both the Liberal and Conservative parties are pledging new supports for Canada's economic recovery from COVID-19.
Meanwhile, the NDP announced its plan to advance reconciliation with First Nations. CTV's Heather Butts has more.
Vying for votes in the prairies, both the Liberals and Conservatives pitched their plan for Canada's post-pandemic recovery. Justin Trudeau promising more money to keep students and workers safe.
Within the first 100 days of a new mandate, a re-elected Liberal government will introduce 10-day paid sick leave for all federally regulated workers.
And Trudeau is committing to work with premiers to extend the same sick benefits to provincially regulated employees. The Liberals are pledging to spend $210 million to improve indoor air quality in schools and communities and introduce a 25% tax credit for small businesses to invest in better ventilation.
Looking good.
Erin O'Toole is rolling out the party's job creation plan, promising a 25% wage subsidy for new hires for 6 months and an additional salary top-up of up to 25% for those unemployed 6 months or more.
Canada's Conservatives will stand with those who suffered during the downturn and help them get back into the workforce.
NDP leader Jagmeet Singh made an emotional visit to Kalwasis First Nation, meeting with the chief and residential school survivors, placing flowers at the site where 751 unmarked graves were discovered in June.
It's not about me, it's about Indigenous communities, and it's about what we've got to do for them. And it's about what this means that a country killed its own people.
Singh is promising more money and resources to search former residential school sites and committed to hiring a special prosecutor to ensure all documents are released.
So the quicker we can discover these graves and address them in whatever way the communities want to do them, the better it is for everyone.
Kalwasis First Nation is in a riding that's long been a Conservative stronghold, and the NDP have yet to announce a candidate there. Heather Butts, CTV News, Toronto.
Green Party leader Enemy Paul continued her campaign here in Toronto, highlighting her party's plan to combat climate change.
Any little bit that we can keep the degrees of warming from increasing in Canada, the more we protect ourselves from even more intense heat domes, even more intense droughts, even more intense weather and climate events.
Paul says her goal is to make Canada a global leader in research and development and decarbonization while reducing emissions. And a reminder, you can track every moment of this campaign on our website. We have a special section to visit as we move closer to September 20th. You'll find it at election.ctvnews.ca.
Alberta reported 817 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. That is the highest daily tally since mid-May. The province says there are nearly 200 people in hospital, including 43 in intensive care. 206 of the new COVID-19 infections and nearly 5,000 of active cases are variants of concern. About 68% of eligible Albertans are fully vaccinated.
COVID numbers are also continuing to climb in British Columbia. 689 infections and 2 deaths were reported on Thursday. The province now has nearly 6,000 active cases, with the spike blamed on the Delta variant. BC doesn't specify the vaccination status of each case, but they have stressed the vast majority of those infected are not fully vaccinated.
And infection counts in the Northwest Territories have grown exponentially in the past week, reaching a total of 170 active cases. Several communities are under 10-day lockdowns to try to help stop the spread of the virus. The territory had not seen cases of COVID-19 since an outbreak at a Yellowknife school in June.
Overseas, Australian officials are extending the lockdown in the country's largest state until at least the end of September.
We've imposed a lot of restrictions on you already. But we don't want to see more of you end up in hospital. We don't want to see more of you lose loved ones. And it's heartbreaking when you see disease rip through families.
Just over 22% of Australians are fully vaccinated. And New South Wales, where Sydney is located, reported 642 new infections today. That outbreak has been linked to growing case counts in New Zealand.
I don't quite know the full scale of this Delta outbreak. All in all, that tells us we need to continue to be cautious.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announcing that a nationwide lockdown will be extended until Tuesday as health officials try to prevent the outbreak from spreading further. New Zealand hadn't reported community transmission of COVID-19 in months. 31 cases have been confirmed in recent days. Well, the man who is set to take over from Alex Trebek has announced he will not stay in the role.
Mike Richards resigned as the new permanent host of Jeopardy today after offensive comments he had made in the past resurfaced. A report from The Ringer found Richards had made a number of derogatory comments about women, Jews, and people with disabilities in a podcast in 2013 and 2014. He had been named the new main host with actor Mayim Bialik, tasked with special events. Richards has apologized and says he will step aside to avoid casting a shadow on Jeopardy as it starts a new chapter in the wake of Alex Trebek's death. Variety reports some episodes were already filmed with Richards at the podium, and they will still air. He will also stay on as executive producer as the search continues now for a new permanent host. And Richards explained his decision to step down in a note to Jeopardy staff. It reads in part, "Over the last several days, it has become clear that moving forward as host would be too much of a distraction for our fans and not the right move for the show." He went on to say, "I know I have a lot of work to do to regain your trust and confidence."
Several months after it blocked the Suez Canal, a now infamous container ship made its way through the passage today. The Ever Given halted traffic through the waterway for 6 days in March, upending global trade as crews struggled to free it and get ships moving again. The vessel is heading for China after dropping off cargo in the UK. The Suez Canal Authority says the ship was accompanied by experienced guides and 2 tugboats to make sure it passed through without incident.
Still ahead tonight, hoping for a cure. The effort to help a young girl with a deadly genetic condition. Could genetic editing be the answer?
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up, it's Feedback Friday. More viewers say they're having problems with fraudulent charges on their credit cards. More tenants say they're being charged excessive fees by landlords. And are electric car owners getting a free ride on Ontario highways? Feedback Friday is just ahead.
Another Triple H day, hot, hazy, and humid. Here's a look at some of the temperatures reached across southern Ontario today. Ottawa, the provincial hotspot at 32.2 degrees. In Toronto, we had another 30-degree day. It wasn't record heat. It was much warmer than our seasonal norm, which is now 25. And it brings our grand total so far of 30-degree days here in the city to 20. For the year 2021. But compare this to this time last year, we had 30
30-degree days by this point, and 35 total. So while we might not completely catch up, I do suspect that we are going to add to our 2021 tally this upcoming week. We'll take a full look at your weekend forecast and the next 7 days when CTV News returns.
We've had a lot of reaction to our recent stories on landlords charging illegal application fees, electric vehicle incentives, and the U.S. border closure.
And more viewers tell us they're also having trouble trying to get fraudulent charges off of their credit card bills. Pat Foran joins us now with Feedback Friday. Pat.
Thanks, Sarita and Michelle. We did a story with a 77-year-old man who had scam charges on his credit card bill. With our help, they were removed. But other viewers with fraudulent charges say it can be extremely difficult to get credit card companies to reverse them. Art Cram has never been outside of Canada and doesn't own a computer, so when he had charges of $2,300 show up on his credit card from an Azerbaijan travel company, he contacted a legal aid lawyer who said it was clearly fraud.
The whole idea that he would be dealing with a travel company based in Azerbaijan in the former Soviet Union is ridiculous.
After 9 months and with CTV's help, the charges were reversed, but many viewers say they have trouble with scam charges. Mike wrote, I have fraudulent charges on my credit card of over $1,000. When I asked them to investigate, they said, we don't do that. They just say, pay up. A viewer contacted CTV News when she applied to rent an apartment and was told she had to pay a $45 non-refundable application fee, something tenant advocates say is illegal.
Landlords cannot charge you fees up front to apply for a place.
Bonnie wrote, some landlords don't just ask for an application fee. They're also insisting on 6 months' rent in advance. Last Saturday, Billy Joel played a concert in Buffalo, and many Canadian fans who bought tickets were unable to attend because the land border was closed. Many Canadians said they were being refused refunds, but Donna just told us, I requested a refund because Canadians can't cross the U.S. border for non-essential trips. Ticketmaster finally agreed to refund the $300 back to my credit card. The federal government wants Canadians to switch to electric vehicles and is offering a $5,000 incentive to get you to buy one.
I think it's helped a lot of people get into electric cars.
Pete wrote, electric vehicles avoid paying road taxes included in the price of gasoline. Not fair if they use roads and don't pay to maintain them. And General Motors is recalling more of its Chevy Bolt electric cars due to potential fires. The company recalled 2017 to 2019 models and will now include Bolts from 2020 to 2022. The recall involves 140,000 cars and will cost GM $1.8 billion to replace defective batteries. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Well, it is hard to believe September is around the corner because we are in the dog days of summer.
We really are. I think what's nice about a night that's so hot and humid like this is there's no problem getting into the water. There's no process. You just go right in because you're hot, Lindsay.
And you know what? That is going to be the place to be over the next couple of days. I encourage you to find a way to keep cool this weekend and really over the next couple of days because this pattern isn't going anywhere. So stay hydrated. Find an air-conditioned space if you can. And of course, make sure you check in on vulnerable family members or neighbors and never leave people or pets in parked cars. Weather is brought to you by Train. For home comfort, cooling, and clean air, it's hard to stop a train. We're not the only ones under a heat warning here in the city of Toronto, but it's not widespread across southern sections of the province. Most of northern Ontario feeling the heat, though, in through the Ottawa Valley and then portions of Quebec. Here in the GTA, we are anticipating that it's going to be an uncomfortable for sleeping kind of night. 22 is the forecast low. And then you factor in the humidity through the, yes, overnight hours, and it will continue to feel like 28. Tomorrow, another 30-degree day expected, feeling more like 36 in the city. And we're really not escaping the heat if you're headed to a campground or a cottage this weekend. Notice that slight risk of a thunderstorm in some areas like Wasaga Beach. We'll talk about that potential in just a moment. For some, there will be a little bit of relief from the heat on Sunday, but not by much. Here's a look at what we're dealing
dealing with. For the most part, it is a ridge of high pressure, but we do see signs of a few pop-up showers or even thunderstorms. Best opportunity for that is going to come tomorrow afternoon, but for some areas, early tomorrow morning, maybe a little light sprinkle of rain in through the afternoon for areas like Bruce County, Grey County, over toward Perth County, and then into sections of Cottage Country, there's a chance of maybe a shower or a thunderstorm. Into Sunday afternoon, similar situation, but I do think most communities are going to remain dry this weekend. Just with all that heat and humidity, there is a little bit of instability in the atmosphere, so do keep this in mind. Want to bring you up to speed on Tropical Storm Henri. The reason this one is so fascinating is because it is expected to strengthen into a hurricane before impacting people in places like Long Island, Rhode Island, as well as southern Massachusetts, and then eventually make its way into Quebec and the Maritimes. At that point, likely as a post-tropical low, but the Atlantic hurricane season, it is heating up. Not going to have too much of an impact on our short-range forecast. You'll notice just how dry we are expected to be over the next 7 days, and warm too. A break from the 30-degree weather on Sunday with a high of 29, but we're back up around 31 degrees next Tuesday, continuing to feel closer to 40 in many areas. Next best chance of some wet weather, aside from the isolated thunderstorms this weekend, looks to be the middle part of next week, perhaps on Wednesday. That's your look at the weather for now. Zoraida, over to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. ActiveTO is back this weekend, giving people access to major roads instead of cars. Closures will be in place as of 6 tomorrow morning until 9 p.m. on Sunday. The closures include Lakeshore Boulevard East from Leslie Street to Woodbine Avenue, Bayview Avenue from Rosedale Valley Road to Lauren Harris Square, the Meadowway in Scarborough from Brimley Road to Scarborough Golf Club Road, and all roads within High Park.
Canadians have been forced to spend big to secure a home during the pandemic, but how much would you spend for a parking spot? CTV's Abby Neufeld has the details on a parking space that's got a listing price in the six-digit range. For details on why it costs so much and what buyers can expect, head to our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
After the break, Britney Spears is back in the headlines tonight, but this time it is her alleged actions that are generating controversy. Why the pop star is under investigation. The family of a young girl with a fatal genetic condition has begun working with SickKids in a race against time.
They're hoping new genetic editing can help cure their child. The details from our health reporter, Pauline Chan.
When Sienna Margani celebrated her fifth birthday in May, it was extremely meaningful for her family.
All the birthdays are special, but Sienna's fifth birthday was a really, really big deal. When we were given the diagnosis back in 2017, Sienna was not supposed to live to see her fifth birthday.
Sienna has Tay-Sachs disease, a rare genetic condition, but she has stabilized somewhat after her family reached out to the University of Massachusetts. They helped provide funding for gene therapy research that was about to be shelved.
We wanted to seek treatment for Sienna beyond palliative care. So we were able to work with them, and Sienna was the first person treated on a compassionate basis.
Now the foundation her family created, called Blue Genes, is supporting research being done by the Hospital for Sick Children.
Pretty much awful, because there's absolutely no treatment for the kids with Tay-Sachs.
Zhenya Ivakin is leading the research.
This disease is a genetic disease. The cause of it is a mutation in a gene. So can we now get to the root of the problem?
Ivakin's team is using a relatively new technique called CRISPR, in which a certain protein can cut a gene with the help of guide RNA at the place where the mutation occurs.
And guide RNA, you can think about it, it's like a GPS.
Scientists can then repair the faulty gene. Ivakin hopes the solution is months rather than years away, and that the discoveries they make can help not just Tay-Sachs patients, but many other similar conditions. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
Israel is moving forward with COVID-19 booster shots, now offering them to anyone age 40 and above. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett rolled up his sleeve today, saying his country will share all of the insights it gains from moving forward with third doses. Israeli health experts say many of these severely ill patients did receive two shots of COVID-19 vaccine, but many of them are older or have underlying conditions that weaken their immune responses.
Britney Spears is under investigation after a staff member says the singer struck her. Deputies responded to Spears' home in Southern California after the staff member reported the dispute, but no one was injured. Reports taken by police will be handed over to prosecutors, and they may consider a misdemeanor charge for battery. Spears' attorney says the investigation should have been closed immediately and concerns nothing more than a he said, she said situation.
Neil Young is bowing out of an upcoming performance at Farm Aid over COVID-19 concerns. The musician, who is a Farm Aid board member and co-founder, broke the news on his website, writing, "I don't want to let anybody down, but still can't shake the feeling that it might not be safe for everyone." He goes on to say, "I don't want to play until you feel safe, and it is indeed safe." Young says he respects his fellow Farm Aid board member's decision to proceed with the sold-out show in September.
Like butter, like a criminal undercover.
And some unfortunate news for BTS fans. The K-pop superstars have canceled their Map of the Soul World Tour because of COVID concerns. The shows were first announced in January of 2020 and slated to begin last April, but they were postponed because of the pandemic. The group's label, Big Hit Music, says the tour will not be going forward due to circumstances beyond their control.
While those delays are announced, we learned today the latest James Bond film will not be pushing back its release date again.
Name?
Bond. James Bond.
The debut of No Time to Die has already been postponed 3 times from its original April 2020 slot. But Universal and MGM say the world premiere will happen in late September ahead of the movie's release in North America in October.
Today is Paw Patrol Day in Toronto.
Welcome to our new headquarters. This is so cool.
Mayor John Tory made the proclamation today, tweeting, "Today we celebrate the wide release of Paw Patrol, the movie. Congratulations and thank you to all the local creators bringing this Toronto-made success story to families worldwide." Paw Patrol is produced by Toronto-based toy company Spin Master.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
Well, this hot and humid pattern is set to continue. Here's a look at your weekend forecast. We'll recap who has a risk of storms and when we'll get some relief from this heat. That's coming up here on CTV News. Stay with us.
We really have no room for error, and that's why we feel that the vaccine is a very powerful additional layer to our already existing bundled measures.
Updating our top stories, SickKids Hospital is among a number of businesses and government agencies introducing mandatory vaccine policies. Both Toronto and Ontario announced yesterday they would be requiring public employees to be vaccinated.
You need to come and get vaccinated. You just need to come because we need to reduce down the level of virus infection here.
A number of people are getting their first shots as a result of the vaccine mandates. But a Léger poll of unvaccinated people found that 71% say they do not believe the shots are safe, despite information from health officials.
If I go to another country, Canada, I will raise the voice of women. I will raise the voice of youth. I will be helping the world, the people of Afghanistan.
A 13-year-old boy whose family is fleeing Taliban rule in Afghanistan is telling CTV News he wants to come to Canada to help those in need. His family has left the country but has not yet secured a trip overseas.
And remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know. It is day 6 of the federal election campaign, and the leaders are crisscrossing the country.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. And we're joined by Christina Tenaglia. Christina, you'll have a full wrap of some of the biggest issues of the week with your political panel.
Yeah. Hi, Michelle. Hi, Zoraida. This is the first full week of the election campaign wrapping up, you could say, today. The campaigning started on Sunday, but this, as you know, is a shortened campaign. We are now 1 month to go until Election Day, 30 days. So we will talk with our panel about things including mandatory vaccines, that conservative platform book with that picture of conservative leader Aaron O'Toole on the cover with his arms crossed in a T-shirt, and some other important issues like platforms. The Liberal government still have, or I should say the Liberal Party specifically, still have not released their platform. The other two parties have, but they're not costed. Also tonight, we are going to talk about Jeopardy in Jeopardy. Question is, what is a new host? Not a Jeopardy question. 9 days ago, Mike Richards, the executive producer of Jeopardy, was announced as the show's newest host, and he's out of his hosting duties. He's out of a job. Stays on as executive producer, but out as host. We're going to tell you why, what the fallout is, and who could be the next host of the show, which actually is also coming up on CTV tonight. Back to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Christina. Have a great show. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar fell a fraction to close at $77.96 U.S. American benchmark oil dipped $1.37 to finish at $62.32 a barrel. And the TSX Composite Index surged more than 123 points to end the week at 20,339.
Well, it's not only hot tonight. The GTA is in for a stretch of this hot and humid weather.
The kind of summer conditions some people love while others just try to get through. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live near Woodbine Beach with more. Beth.
Sarita, this hot and humid weather is not my favorite kind of weather. It can even be dangerous. So it's a really good night to check on someone that may be vulnerable tonight, especially if they live alone. For me, I'm pretty envious of the people who get to go swimming tonight. Sticky and steamy, the kind of hot summer day sending people in search of relief.
Definitely hot and ready to go for a swim, quick swim.
Yeah, the beach is calling us.
It's so hot today. Environment and Climate Change Canada issued a heat warning for Toronto. That's triggered when there's a forecast of two or more consecutive days with a daytime high of 31 degrees or warmer, combined with a nighttime temperature of 20 degrees or warmer, or when two or more days in a row are forecast to reach at least 40 degrees.
I get so hot that I just want to go into the water and refresh.
To help people cool off, emergency cooling centers have opened and pools are staying open later. Eight pools across the city are open until 11:45 tonight. Reservations not required. This group of Centennial College students is getting together for the first time since January. Until now, they only saw each other through a screen.
It's sweltering, like I'm feeling hot, the sand is hot, but you know, it's worth it.
It's not like the Philippines. It's better here, so I like it.
For some, this weather is welcome, especially near the water.
The beach is really, really nice on a Friday. And yeah, I love it. Like, love being out with my friends. And I love that, you know, just get to cool off and like enjoy like I'm in the Bahamas, but I'm not really in the Bahamas.
A dip in the lake, one of the best ways to escape the heat. Emergency cooling centers close in just a few minutes at 7 o'clock. If you need air conditioning overnight, Metro Hall is open. Reporting live, I'm Beth McDonnell. Zoraida, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. The Raptors will be back in Toronto for the upcoming NBA season. The team released its full schedule for the 2021-22 NBA season today. The Raptors' first game back at Scotiabank Arena is set for October 20th. Other notable games include the team's first matchup with former Raptor Kyle Lowry and the Miami Heat. That happens on January 17th. Lowry will make his return to Toronto on February 3rd.
Henrik Lundqvist has announced his retirement after 15 seasons in the NHL. The 39-year-old played his entire career with the New York Rangers, where he won 459 games, good for sixth in NHL history. Lundqvist also won a gold medal for Sweden at the 2006 Winter Games. He signed with the Washington Capitals in October, but never took the ice after announcing he had a heart condition.
A competitive eater is claiming the title King of Donairs. His attempt to down two dozen of the maritime delicacies. When we come back.
Coming up this Saturday on Things to Know TO, Julia Germania of Not Far From the Tree on reducing waste while supporting those in need. Gwen Broda from the New Mom Project talks about empowering and supporting new families. Joyce Grant started TeachingKidsNews.com to tailor news to kids. And Danielle Forbes with National Service Dogs on the life-changing work of these four-legged heroes. All this coming up Saturday morning on Things to Know TO.
anyone visiting Halifax is encouraged to try a donair when making a trip to the city.
But it may be tough to find someone who enjoys the dish more than Joel Hansen.
The amount of food that he puts in is not human. I kind of thought since he was game on trying to break the record that he would eat more than 19, but to go five above that was, it was crazy.
Hansen, a competitive eater, downed 24 donairs in a single sitting, breaking the previous record of 19, which he also set. He explained how he trains for competitions and potential record attempts.
Very, very important. I try to be active every day, whether it be going to the gym or going for a run. Diet is definitely key. Outside of kind of these competitions, my videos, I eat very healthy. Fruits, vegetables, lean meats.
Hansen says he eats competitively about once a month. While he may have had his fill of donairs for now, Hansen says he'll be back to try and break his record again. Yeah, I think I'm good with one.
I'd try one.
Yeah,
I love how
one,
he's fit and healthy.
But one.
Yeah, exactly. Bring us up to speed on the weather, Lindsay.
You know, I'm not even that hungry right now. And I would also opt for something a little more sweet, especially on a night like tonight. It's an ice cream night if you're joining us from the GTA, because there's a heat warning in effect right now. Overnight, we're looking at a low of 22 degrees, feeling more like 28 once you factor in the humidity. Here's the thing. With all this haze and the humidity, air quality starts to suffer a little bit. And as we make our way into tomorrow, we can expect moderate levels of pollution. Here's a look at the 7-day forecast. The heat, it's sticking around. So too is the mostly dry weather outside of the GTA. A slight risk of a thunderstorm this weekend. I hope you have a great one. Zoraida and Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. And be sure to join us later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight begins momentarily on CP24.
For Lindsay and all of us here at CTV News, have a good night. We'll see you at 11:30.